broadcasting from the great state of Texas. News and views with a Lone Star perspective. You can sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. Or call in at 1-800-687-0790. Now, here's Chad Hasty.
Wait a minute. Chad Hasty's out. It's Steve Evans.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good evening. Welcome to the Chad Hasty Show. Steve Evans hanging out with you. Two shows to go to wrap up 2025. Did it go by fast for you? Go by fast for you, Nick? Went by fast for Nick? I don't know. I was kind of contemplating that today. 806-680-2790, by the way, if you want to send a message. I was kind of contemplating that today. I spent a lot of the day in deep thought. As deep as I can get. Oh, I had a lot to do today. It was a busy day. Weird. One of those weird, busy days. This is, you know, like I've been talking about, this is kind of the slow week. Everybody's slow week, but it wasn't for me today. And I woke up to a whole slew of things to do. But I did, it was kind of in thought today. I'm like, did the year go by fast? You know, a lot of times, you know, like a couple years ago, I had a bad year. I couldn't wait for New Year's. I was so glad it was over. It was a tough year. But this year, it's a pretty good year. Business was okay. Things were okay. Party politics, okay. All the extracurricular things I participate in, okay. Family moving right along. Everybody where they're supposed to be. Things happening like they should. And so I don't know. I can't decide if the year blew by. You know, it's over now. So it went by pretty quick. It all moves too quick. The older you get, if you younger folks listen, the older you get, the faster it moves. It starts moving real fast, Nick. Don't blink. I don't know. So maybe there's just a medium pace. So curious if the year went by quick for you. If it went slow, if you had a rough year, a good year overall. And that's the thing, you know, we look at statistics, we look at the economy and prices of groceries and fuel and credit card debt and things I've been talking about all year. Congressman Arrington on, we're talking about personal credit card debt. I looked at this again over the weekend, $1.23 trillion in personal credit card debt, people financing basic needs. And so I guess that general question, and it's going to be different for everybody, did you have a good year or a bad year? I think average is a pretty safe bet. Most people had a pretty average year. Nick, you have a good year? Nick had a pretty good year. You got married. That's a good year. Good year for you. You can't have a bad year. You get your best friend is now your wife. That's awesome. Good year for Nick. But I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. Not you. He was about to take that somewhere else. I see where you're going with that. Yes, it's life is in the eye of the beholder. But I don't know. Pretty good year overall. How did your year go? And did it go by fast? I don't know. Some things seem like they were a blur. Some things seem like they slowed down a little bit. I don't know. A lot happened this year. It was very, very busy. Made a lot of trips out to D.C. A lot of things happened. Very busy. Back and forth to Austin quite a bit. I was moving around. A lot of things going on. So I don't know. Busy year, but I don't know if it necessarily went by quick. We're anxiously awaiting the New York mayor-elect Mondani to speak. Don't care. Don't know what he has to say. Don't know. Got New Orleans ramping up their National Guard and all the last. It just seems like the news is not that exciting right now. It's a slow news cycle. Not a lot going on, but So today and tomorrow, I don't know what we're going to do. I might be, just be hanging out with you by myself. May have a couple guests in studio. I don't know. I can't get any. Nobody wants to commit to anything anymore. You know, it's like, maybe I'll drop by. Well, that's not how we do it in radio. It's not maybe I might come hang out. Maybe I might. That's not how we do it. We like to plan. We like to tell everybody what might happen. You know, we're like, if we're going to have a guest, we kind of like to let you know ahead of time so you can. You can be excited for it. You can remember to tune in. But I got a lot of maybes, and I don't do maybes very well. So I can tell you for certain, Nick and I will be here. We're going to be on the air with you tomorrow to wrap up the year. I like to do year in review, whatever I can find, and whatever you've got. We want to go back through the year in review, and then we'll be off on Thursday. Be the very, very, very best of Chad Hasty on Thursday. And then we'll be here on Friday with you to ring in 26 of the Chad Hasty Show and then hear all about Chad's vacation on Monday. I really don't know what he's doing. He very well could just be at home. Very well. Got a lot going on at the house. He very well could just be at home just doing life. So that's what Chad's doing right now. Chad is just doing life. Not out in adventurous at the moment. He's just doing life. So we'll get to hear all about that. Maybe something exciting happened. I don't know. Maybe he just took a bunch of days off to relax. Maybe he was just tired. You know, maybe. And I know he's been tired, but maybe he's just tired. I don't know. Anyway, 806-680-2790. I've got a couple of local Texas stories we can get into. I'm a little heavy to jump into here. Let's see. Let's look at this. We can do this and then pick up these in the next segment. Top 9 New Year's Eve fun facts for 2025. The number of Americans who will travel for New Year's holiday this year, with 64% of them driving to their destination. Any idea, Nick? You can guess how many Americans, the number of Americans who will travel for the holidays. Any guess?
Oh boy, I don't know. I don't know. I'm bad at these because I throw out a number and it's way off. It doesn't even make any sense. I'll say I 4 million. I don't know.
Oh,
I have no idea.
So far out.
I told you. Hey, I warned you. What is it?
142 million Americans will travel for New Year's holiday. 64% of them drive into their destination. Now that's important.
Is that the trend now? Are people veering towards driving for trips and vacations now?
I don't have any statistics to back that up, but I can tell you just based on, because I do fly a lot for business, just based on the cost of airfare, it's going up like crazy.
Yeah.
And now Southwest Airlines ruined the best airline out there. I mean, the best little airline. A lot of people hate Southwest. It's the cattle car, the board, whatever. But it was reasonably priced. You got your bags free, all that good stuff. Really. And now it's just like every other airline. You got to pay for bags.
Yep.
They are militant as they get used to the bag thing. They are militant at the gate. You know, just I swear they're out there with a tape measure. And if your bag doesn't fall within the exact dimensions of the maximum you can have in the overhead, they're screaming and hollering. And now that this new deal, I don't even know how they figured this out, but they'll tell you like, oh, well, we need to check another 40 bags.
Exactly. At the
gate.
How
do you know?
Yeah, they make the
announcement. Are you walking around counting?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know the number of people that have a carry-on?
I think they have a set number, and then as the minutes get closer to takeoff or boarding, I guess, they track all of the checked bags for that flight. And so then they have the number of what's currently checked. And then they're like, well, you know, we ballpark and it's usually we need about this much checked. So then they're like, all right, you know, we need 26 more bags checked. And then they do the rounds and they make the announcements and they're like, all right, 26 bags need to be checked. Anybody else? And then like 10 minutes later, like, okay, 22 more bags. And then it gets down to the wire. And then eventually people get up and forfeit their bags.
I mean, that's a fairly logical argument we got 100 people on board and
exactly.
50 bags checked, so 50 people are carrying on, but I don't know. And then they start threatening you with, well, we'll stop boarding and they've we'll start checking bags. Yes, I've heard them say that.
They never said that they'll stop boarding for me.
Oh, they've said we'll stop boarding until people come up here and check bags if we don't get... But they'll start boarding and then start, you know, if you're in the B group or the dreaded C group. A C group, you C people, you better check your bags. We're not going to let you on if you don't check your bags. Yeah, they start doing that.
Yeah.
And they've gotten mean about it. I mean, it's mean. And like the thing about being inside of federal security is you're very much less likely to protest and scream and holler and, you know, because it's very easy for them to throw you out, and then you wind up on somebody's list.
But yeah, you're the one paying to fly. They're not. It's not the other way around. Exactly.
Yeah, but I get it. But yeah. you get ejected from federal security, and it's a problem. And I mean, I've seen people get into it and get escorted out of the airport.
Yeah.
And
you're
Oh, I've seen it firsthand. It's ridiculous, and it's like they're getting more and more militant.
Hmm.
And you know, we're paying more and more. And COVID was the worst. COVID, when a pilot comes over the speaker and says, you just remember that those flight attendants are an extension of my authority. And if we tell you to do something, you need to comply or there could be repercussions. Oh, yes, pilot saying that over the speaker. And I'm like,
wow,
what is going on here? It's irritating. And then just the mask thing on the airplanes was so unbelievable. Like I've got screamed at multiple times for taking a drink and not getting my mask pulled back up over my face fast enough.
Yeah.
And it's like we got to angry militant flight attendants during COVID and we never got the nice ones back.
They
never calm back down.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that I love on a flight is the seatbelt thing, which I understand. And it's no surprise. I'm a rule follower. Okay. I'll admit it.
Seatbelt thing.
Yeah, the seatbelt light. You know, it's on like, hey, don't get up. And they'll make the announcements if people get up to go to the bathroom when the lights are on, the seatbelt light. They reiterate. They're like, hey, just ahead, an FYI, the captain put the seatbelt sign on. Please do not get up out of your seats. And everybody's getting up. I understand. I stay in my seat. If they tell me to stay, whatever. It's shaky. Yeah, I want to stay safe. But the thing is, sometimes I really have to use the bathroom. And this has happened before. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I understand. They'll make the announcement. And I'm locking eyes with a flight attendant. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I have to get up. So I get up. And then I hear them make the announcement. And I know it's for me. But I'm like, look, I have to go. There's nothing I can do. So that's one of the things that I think is a little funny.
I don't know if it's policy or rules or whatever. But unless you're actually on an active taxiway or on an approach or in the middle of a takeoff, they won't mess with you about the bathroom. I mean, they might make the announcement and you shouldn't be out of your seat, but they're not going to like tackle you and, you know, and you got to go. I mean, I don't know. I never use airport bathrooms unless I'm traveling, unless I'm doing an overseas flight or something. 8 hours, yeah, I'm going to get up and use the bathroom. But any domestic flight, I'm able usually to plan it out, watch what I'm drinking, and I can hold it for a while. Cause I just don't like, and I love the window seat, so I don't want to traipse through, you know. I like the window seat because I carry my little GPS receiver, and I watch the maps, and all I am, airplane nerd. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Back with more New Year's fun-filled facts with Steve and Nick when we come back.
The Chad Hastie Show can be heard all over West Texas. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Tune in to News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO in Lubbock. News Talk 940 in Amarillo. News Talk 94.7 and 1470 KYYW in Abilene. And in Wichita Falls on News Talk 96.3 and 1290. The Chad Hastie Show. Make it a part of your drive home. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
When you see a car that's been in a bad crash, it's no accident. When it backs traffic up for miles, no accident. And if there's a fatality involved, somebody died. That's no accident either. A lot of the time, it was speeding. And it's no accident that speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas, many of them fatal. So slow down. Be safe. Drive smart. A message from TxDOT.
What's better than listening to KFYO first thing in the morning? Well, listening to Fox News on KFYO first thing in the morning. Don't miss the latest news affecting the local and federal government, as well as the goings-on in that little white building called the White House. With Fox News, every day, right here on News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM, KFYO.
Hey, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show, 806-680-2790. It's the number to text the show. Nick and I are talking about air travel. Air travel's fun to talk about. I mean, I love to fly. I don't love the garbage to fly. I don't like delays. But the airport life doesn't bother me. And it's if you fly a lot, you learn all the tricks. You learn how to navigate the airport. You start to have like a larger encyclopedia or library of airports that you know very well. You know where the coffee shop is, you know the bathroom, you know, you start to have your usual routine, the gates that you normally go to and things like that. And it's harder for people that first time flying with a family and trying to figure things out, and then airlines change all the rules on you. And it's, you know, and I've got all of the fastest ways that money can buy on the planet to get through TSA quickly. And I know, I even know which shoes and which belt and which things I can get through a metal detector, because I use the metal detector, not the body scanner. I know exactly, you know, which stuff will go through, which won't, how to get through quick. It's so that it makes it easier. And I like to fly. I'd rather fly private, but who wouldn't? But anyway, but I don't know. We were talking about, you know, AC, Nick's talking about AC blasting, and you know the thing about it, like, can we get like an airline that's the leave you alone airline, the airline where we leave you alone, we get you on, we'll go ahead and do your pre-flight briefing, and then like no drink service, because I don't do drink service. I get my coffee, especially if you're at the Lubbock airport, because they have a new coffee now called the Big Lebowski. It's got five or six shots in it. It's, I mean, yeah, you're wired, man. I've never tried it. I'm afraid I'll have a heart attack mid-flight. But I get a coffee, make sure I'm able to time things out. I know how long I can go. I very, very rarely use airport bathrooms or airplane bathrooms. I don't like them. I just don't. I can make it. Unless we get a ground stop, unless we're sitting on the tarmac for a while, unless, and then on occasion, me like everybody else, got to get them, go to the bathroom. But I like the window seat, you know, don't want to mess with people. Because I like to sleep off and on, but they don't leave you alone. They want to talk to you, and they want to tell you about the credit card that they want you to apply for. And I think the flight attendants, pretty sure they get a little commission for signing up the credit cards and all the miles. And we want to thank our One World customers or whatever. And they just, it's nonstop. And then the pilot wants to come on. I swear he has a volume control in the cockpit, and he turns it on, and it's, we're going to get you there. Get real good. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. What? I don't know what happened, you know? he said something great, and then, you know, think, okay, well, that's got past that, and you know, and you're going to get the 10,000 foot ding. We reached 10,000 feet. You can turn your stuff on now. And then, you know, now it's just the flight attendants are angry. We have any flight attendants listening? Why are you angry? Why are you so mad? It's just the job, you know? Oh my goodness. And I've got some now, like, we just get going and get a drink out. And like the very rare occasion that I actually, you know, I forgot to get a bottle of water or something. I'm thirsty. Get a water. Got the table down. Got iPad sitting on it. And we just get drinks out. And like 5 minutes later, she comes by. I'm like, we need to go ahead and get those tray tables put back. I'm like, we've only had them down for 10 minutes. We got another 40 minutes of flight. I just want to get a jump on things. Well, but I don't want to. And if I don't comply, she's going to, I told you to put that up. And I don't know. It drives me crazy. But it seems like over COVID plus, because all of this angry flight attendant stuff started around COVID. They had to, and I don't know why they all took it so personally. Like, if you're that scared of being in a tin can with people that might be sick, don't fly anymore. Find a new job. It's okay. Nobody's making you get on the plane. And time and time and time again, they said planes have got the greatest air systems. They scrub the air. They, you know, especially the ones that bring in fresh air and move it around. It's safe. But they got militant and they never lightened up. And you try to joke with them and they're not. I mean, every once in a while you get that one that's got some jokes. You get the cool flight attendant that's got the cool pilot briefing where they make a lot of jokes that are hilarious. You know, we never anticipate the loss in cabin pressure. If we did, we wouldn't have come to work today kind of jokes. You know, those are funny. But for the most part, they're just angry. And now you're paying more. And they wrap it all up with this. We know you have a choice in who you travel with, and we're so glad you traveled with us. No, I really didn't have a choice. I went with the cheapest option, you know, unless I'm flying for business and somebody else is paying for it. I'm flying first class then, but unless somebody else is paying for it, I didn't really have a choice. I went with the low, early bird, buy your tickets 30 days in advance kind of airfare because I'm trying to save a buck like everybody else. You know, I'll spend the few extra bucks on getting in-flight Wi-Fi and those things, the little creature comforts. Because, you know, you can't be disconnected for 2 hours. That would be horrible. You know, I do that. That's how I fly. I you know, I don't know. And then the people with the bags. Too many bags. Oh, my goodness. But don't try to do that on Southwest now. They're militant about it. And you're going to get your bag jerked away and a claim check handed to you. Guaranteed. News and weather's next. We'll be back with more Chad Hasty Show.
The Chad Hasty Show, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. Sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No. Seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
To battle is to fight, to struggle, to overcome. And ultimately, for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise. To our nation, a promise kept for more than two centuries, a promise of the Marines.
TSN headline, Sharia law the target of a new caucus launched by Dallas area Congressman Keith Self. It's called the Sharia Free America Caucus, co-chaired by Self and Representative Chip Roy of San Antonio. Sharia law is the guidance in Islam derived from the Quran, and Self calls it a dominating force not compatible with the U.S. Constitution. The Council on American Islamic Relations calls this a conspiracy to whip up fear. The Dallas County GOP had planned to hand count ballots from the upcoming March primary. Now they've dropped the idea. Tens of thousands of ballots would have been involved. And Dallas County GOP Chief Alan West says even though they raised more than $420,000 for the effort, they would have not had enough time to hire enough people. Cops arrest the Harris County treasurer over the weekend in connection with a car burglary in Houston. Houston police say Carla Wyatt got into an unlocked car, began taking things. She's bonded out. She has a record with DUI in December of 2023. With your Texas news headlines, I'm Barbara Schwartz.
Digging without contacting Texas 811 first could cost more than you think. Texas 811 is a free service that helps you avoid damaging underground utilities like electric or gas lines. Every year, accidents happen because someone didn't take a moment to contact 811. Whether installing a fence or working on a construction site, contacting Texas 811 is the law. It's quick, free, and keeps you safe. Visit Texas811.org today for more information. Safe digging starts with one simple step. Make it today.
You're losing your hair, and you want a simple solution guaranteed to work. Guys, you need Advanced Hair. Advanced Hair's quick one-day treatment is offered in a calm, relaxed environment with top-rated physicians and modern technology. Your own natural hair begins to regrow the very next day, and Advanced Hair guarantees it will grow. So schedule your free consultation for $250 off and 250 free hair grafts. 469-599-HAIR or advancedhair.com.
This Tuesday evening, temperatures are dropping overnight through morning around 28 degrees. On Wednesday, which New Year's Eve on the way at 63 degrees. I'm meteorologist Ron Roberts of Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk KFYO.
Financial news on KFYO.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. Bank of America Chairman and CEO Brian Moynihan saying that President Trump, as he searches for a new chair for the Federal Reserve, should maintain the banking system's independence, and that is paramount. Moynihan saying, quote, "The markets will punish people if we don't have an independent Fed," end quote. Citigroup said its board approved the sale of its Russia unit, AO Citibank, to Renaissance Capital in a deal that will lead to a pre-tax loss of about $1.2 billion, largely related to currency translation. The deal expected to close in the first half of 2026. A tax foundation analysis says that 9 U.S. states are lowering taxes on January 1st, a move that could give some taxpayers additional financial breathing room as they head into the new year. Wall Street stocks finished the day lower. Dow Industrial averaged down 95 points at 48,367. The NASDAQ was off by 55. S&P 500 down 9. That's Your Money Now.
FIFA World Cup 2026 is coming soon, but your opportunity to be there starts now through an exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card. For a limited time, become a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card holder, and you will be eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America N.A. in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. Rewards reserved.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday.
Local events, newsmakers, and information, it's Sunrise LBK on KFYO.
Coming up on Sunrise LBK New Year's Eve, the final day of 2025.
And Larry Williams will sit in with us at 8:05 on another segment of Ask Larry. Williams Brake, Tune, and Tire.
311 19th Street. Also got some goodies to give away from Tokyo Cafe, Silver Bullet, and the Combine Commons on the Square in Slayton. Coming up on New Year's Eve, Sunrise LBK.
Ted Cruz here. Tune in to KFYO every Sunday at 11 for Verdict with Ted Cruz. But stick around for Reason, Religion, and Reality at noon, followed by the best of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, right here on the News and Talk of West Texas. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Empowering West Texas with news that matters. News Talk 95.1 FM, 790 AM KFYO.
It's the Chad Hasty Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show. Steve Evans hanging out.
806-680-2790. Text line's quiet today. It's been not a lot of text traffic going on here, folks. You need to step it up. We're counting on you to help drive the show, especially laid-back weeks like this. Need a little help. 806-680-2790, where we're talking about air travel and militant. If you're an angry flight attendant, give this a call. Let's talk. I want to know why you're angry. What's the matter with you? Let us know what's going on. Why has it gotten so uncomfortable to fly? I don't know. I like to fly, but it is getting expensive, folks. If you're going to go somewhere, it's a planned trip. You really need to get that 30-day out. And even those deals are not great like they used to be. Southwest Airlines used to be significantly cheaper 30 days out. It's really not anymore, and they're messing with their pricing tiers.
You're going to have to pay for bags. Sometime in January, I know they're working on the assigned seating. You can buy your seat number and all that the way American does it. I am going to bet they're going to move to multi-classes in those planes. I'm just guessing they will, because they're already advertising preferred legroom seats, which makes me think they're gonna move some seats around, readjust some aisles and things like that, which is a pretty major overhaul for them to do all that. But I think all that's coming. Certainly the bags, and you know, people are the hack is you get you a bag that is a little bit too big for overhead. It's just a little bit too big, or especially if you're kind of at the end of the boarding groups, and then you get them to force you to check it, or you voluntarily check it. And if you do that, it's free. They don't charge you at that point to do it. So that's kind of people who do that, or, you know, they'll have multiple. I've seen people even like pass off a bag to like a friend, here, roll this carry on through, and then we'll show up with too many bags, and like they make us chair. We'll go up and just start voluntarily checking stuff to get around the baggage fees. Cause that's, I don't know. When I first started flying for business a lot, I used Southwest a bunch. I mean, I had the top, whatever that tier is, business select tier, I flew so much, and I used Southwest a lot even before the ride amendment did away with the ride amendment, where you couldn't fly to the northeastern states or fly east through Love Field. If you went to Houston, you had to cancel your itinerary. Then you could, you know, go uncheck your bags, recheck your bags, get on a new itinerary, and you could fly to North Carolina. Went through all that garbage, and then they got rid of that, and then bought into AirTran and some others that got them into Birmingham and Memphis. Anyway, enough about air travel, but it's changing. It's changing fast and getting more expensive. And I've noticed that a lot of the schedules that they used to have, they're doing away with them. I used to be able, you could get on a plane in Lubbock, fly direct to El Paso in an early morning flight. You could work in El Paso and fly back on a late, real late, even like 7-8 o'clock at night. And you could one day that thing. Not anymore. Got to go to Dallas. And then they've just changed up and changed up so many routes. You can still get direct to Houston if you need to a couple times a day. United, if you like flying United, I don't love them, but they do go direct to Houston. But anyway, plan that stuff out. If you haven't flown in a while, really get on the internet, look around, TSA regulations. A lot of stuff's changed if you haven't flown in 2 or 3 years, and prices are going to kind of shock you. Anyway, 535 Minnesota statehood should be revoked due to this scandal. Yeah, I don't have anything pulled up for Minnesota. We might try that in the next hour. I've got the fraud scandal and some of the election scandal stuff going on. Yeah, we can get to that in a little bit, 535, of course. I've got a few more fun facts I'd like to share with you. The number or percentage of Americans who spend at least $50 on New Year's Eve food and drinks. Anybody got a guess? You got a guess, Nick? 63% of Americans spend at least $50. The number percentage of Americans who plan to celebrate New Year's Eve with family or friends, only 32% of this group will eat out or have food picked up or delivered. 55%. Here's a good one. See if you know this one, Nick. The average cost for a couple to enjoy dinner and a show, New Year's Eve show, in the three largest cities, New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Any guess how many dollars it might be for an average couple to go out?
Oh, boy. Those are expensive places. I don't know. $84.23.
$772 for dinner and a show.
Yeah, hey,
it's so much
close.
Different. We could probably do it for $80.
I was going to say, Lubbock? Oh, yeah.
Dinner and a movie.
That's a good deal.
A show, $84? I'm assuming, is like maybe a New Year's Eve Broadway type
show. That's what
show.
I'm thinking, yeah.
I guess. I don't know. We don't have a lot of that here.
No.
How about the number of glasses of sparkling wine that are drunk each year? Because most of you don't really have champagne. You have sparkling wine. How many glasses do you think are consumed? And it doesn't say globally,
yeah,
or in America.
I don't know. I'll just assume America. I don't know. We've been through this. I'm bad at numbers. Let's say, 200 million glasses of wine. Or whatever you said, sparkling wine.
360 Whoa. Plus million. You were okay. up there.
All right.
The percentage of Americans that go to the emergency room with drug and alcohol-related incidents on New Year's. This is very low. I was shocked at this number because I don't think this is right.
Is it a number or percent?
It's a percentage of okay. Americans.
Okay. So let's see. I don't know.
You're going to hit one of these here. It's like the lottery.
If you think it's low, then we'll say 27%.
It's 8%. Yeah, I don't think so.
That is low.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't like to get out. I kind of want to just like, this is a really stupid thing to want to do. Kind of want to cruise by an emergency room about 2:30 in the morning on New Year's and just see how busy it is.
Yeah.
Go and hand out Bibles or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We're going to pray for you out front.
Yeah.
The number of people who get hurt in car crashes, New Year's.
This is a big one. I know this is a very
probably not as high as you think. I'm assuming this is United States alone.
It's definitely higher than 8%. I'll say
this is a number.
Oh, it's a number. Oh,
yeah.
I'm bad at these too.
I'll give you that 20,400. New Year's Eve related. People who get hurt in car crashes.
Right.
New Year's 20,000.
Okay,
that's a lot of car crashes.
It's a lot, but compared to the 300 plus million that are drinking, I mean that's not that's not too bad.
This one's great. You're gonna love this.
Oh boy,
the average blood alcohol content of New Year's Eve party crews.
Okay, so let's see, 0.08. So let's go double. So I'm thinking 0.16 is my guess.
The average is 0.095%.
Oh, what?
Which is it's above the legal limit.
Yeah, barely.
You can be driving, but I guess that's average. So you take the ones that have more alcohol than blood, and versus the ones who just had a few glasses of champagne, and it averages out to 0.095.
That's much less than I thought.
And you're going to get this one. You're going to love this one because this one's yours.
Okay.
This is number 9 on this list. It's the last one before we go to the break. The most likely day for people to give up on their resolutions.
Quitter's Day. Yeah. What is it? Third Friday? Second Friday?
It's the second Friday.
In January?
With 13% of Americans admitting they didn't succeed in accomplishing any resolutions that they made. I thought that we looked at a statistic.
Yeah, that seems low.
That was a little higher.
Yeah,
it seemed low.
13 is not.
Wasn't it 80 to 90%?
I think that was just. Wasn't that in general? They quit by February or something?
Maybe so.
I'm not sure, yeah.
13% by Quitter's Day.
Three weeks into the year.
couple weeks in and going to quit. We'll take the final break of the hour. I'm back with more. What show is this? Chad Hasty Show. Yeah, I drew a blank for a second. What show am I doing tonight? Back with more Chad Hasty Show when we come back.
The Titan of Texas Talk Radio, The Chad Hasty Show.
Talking with newsmakers and about the issues that matter to you. The Chad Hasty Show, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Chad's show is also digital with The Chad Hasty Show podcast. The Chad Hasty Show podcast can be downloaded on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the Radio On Demand page on KFYO.com. The Chad Hasty Show, all across Texas during your drive home, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Pedal to the metal. Greased lightning. Burn rubber. Make tracks. Full gas. Whatever you call it, it's speeding. And a heavy foot can cost you a heavy fine. Or more. Speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas. Many of them fatal. Slow down. Be safe. Drive smart. And take it easy. A message from the Texas Department of Transportation.
What's better than listening to KFYO first thing in the morning? Well, listening to Fox News on KFYO first thing in the morning.
Don't miss the latest news affecting the local and federal government, as well as the goings-on in that little white building called the White House. With Fox News, every day, right here on News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM, KFYO.
Has anybody told you about Coast to Coast AM tonight?
Coast to Coast is one of those programs that deals with strange mysteries. We'll look at Bigfoot. We'll look at UFOs. We'll look at real science. And we'll also look at conspiracies and what it all means to you, the listeners of Coast to Coast AM.
It's the best in overnight talk radio. Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Tonight at midnight on KFYO.
Fox on set.
There was a bipartisan meeting of lawmakers on Capitol Hill before meeting with some top bank executives lobbying Congress to shape the new rules for crypto in a way that benefits them. Some of the heavy hitters at the forum, Citigroup CEO Jane Fraser, Bank of America's Brian Moynihan, and Wells Fargo CEO Charlie Scharf. They're talking about the Clarity Act, a major bill that would create a new market structure for crypto, which is currently stalled. Other parts of the world are ahead of us on crypto legislation, like Europe. Here's what SEC Chairman Paul Atkins had to say about this during our one-on-one interview.
In some ways, we could almost overstep what Europe already has because they might be too stringent with the rules.
They've started to change already things that they had adopted, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. So I think it's a fluid situation by nature, and that's not a bad thing. But I feel confident that here over the next year or two that we'll be where we should be.
With Fox on Tech, Darren Botello, Fox Business.
When high winds and dangerous storms rock West Texas, stay ahead of the weather with the station you trust. Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk 95.1 FM, 790 AM KFYO.
News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Hey, welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show, 806-680-2790. Got a couple of fairly heavy things. So 535 is really upset about Minnesota, and me too. I'm going to tell you what's going on there. A couple of things to talk about Minnesota. We'll do that in the next hour. I've got a couple of interesting stories. Elon Musk is getting in the middle of a legal battle in the state of Texas. We'll take a look at that. Here's a story earlier in the month that was not on my radar. I can get this one in before the end of the hour. Out of Seminole, Texas. And this is titled Blame for the Nation's Historic Measles Outbreak. West Texas Mennonites have hardened their views on vaccines. And my apologies for mispronouncing the name. It's Freeze. I'm going to say Freeze. Freeze. The Freeze family. Middle daughter came down with fatigue, body aches, telltale signs of measles. Strawberry-colored spots splattered across her skin. She waited it out. 2 days later, her son developed same symptoms. After a week, the disease finally reached the youngest daughter, who was sick all night, 104-degree fever. They never brought the children to the doctor. Instead, administered cod liver oil, vitamins, tea, broth, refreshed their cold compresses, ran Epsom salt baths, the holistic type of approach to this, and then went to a holistic health center for IV treatments. None of the kids are fully vaccinated against measles. Stopped immunizing the first two as infants after hearing stories of others who'd had bad reactions to shots. This is starting to come to the forefront. This is getting attention now. Approved no shots for the third, even as the outbreak ripped through the community. Preferred that her children contract measles to build natural immunity because to her it was on par with the flu. Seemed like this disease that had come up now and was this big deal. Who was this? The mother who was vaccinated child? To me, this wasn't the case. But outside the West Texas town, 7,000 health experts watched in horror as a once dormant disease spread like a drop of blood in water across Seminole and the outlying counties, hitting at least three other states and breaching international borders. Killed two children, both Mennonites. Sickened at least 762 Texans, more half of whom live in Gaines County. Hospitalized 99 statewide, the West Texas outbreak was the nation's largest in more than 35 years. But for the Mennonites at the center of it, the scrutiny was worse than the disease itself. Today, Anita and others like her say they're no more likely to get vaccinated, and they're even less trusting of the government and health officials who they feel targeted them and blame them for causing the outbreak. Apologize if we're contributing to that this evening. it was just as an interesting story, kind of close to home. The community questioned why why measles forced their religious community into the national spotlight. They didn't know why TV crews clamored to film them grieving little girls who they believe died from underlying conditions or negligent hospitals rather than the disease. They didn't understand the measles from outsiders demanding they leave the country for exercising their right to not be vaccinated. You look at this, you're looked at as this ignorant people that's almost fueling this thing, like we're having measles parties. That was never the case. One of the pastors from the Mennonite Evangelical Church. Vaccine hesitancy has been brewing for the last 20 years among Mennonites, not just the Mennonite community. They got the spotlight of it, but it's been brewing all over the place. Cloistered Christian sect with historical distrust in government, pandemic era mandates brought that to a boil in the community and others across Texas. This group is a large microcosm of the distrust in vaccines gripping the state. Twice as many parents exempted their kindergartners from measles vaccines this year compared to 5 years ago, with, of course, Gaines County being among the highest, almost 20% of the kindergartners being exempt compared to the state's average of less than 4%. Seminole's vaccination rate is likely far lower when includes the Mennonites who are homeschooled. Among the world's most infectious diseases, measles causes rash and flu-like symptoms and was for many years rare in the U.S. because of a widespread vaccination, especially in young children. It can cause complications like blindness, brain swelling, even death. Two doses of the vaccine are 97% effective at avoiding the disease, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control. Texas health officials declared the outbreak over in August, ending an event that Anita thinks was inflated from the start. I know plenty of people that had measles when they were children. They all survived. To me, it was a risk I was willing to take. As it tore through the community last winter, John, 54, feared the disease was causing his pallor, ringing ears, body pain, and fatigue. In April, after finally crumbled against his wife's demand to seek help, he finally saw a doctor. Didn't have measles. He had leukemia. God bless him. 7 blood transfusions in a week later and 6 more over the next 3 months. Returned to the hospital for a stay in the spring. Regretted high-fiving a blotchy child at the grocery store. He changed his immigration consulting firm to appointment only. And asked clients to wash their hands and stay home if they'd been sick. I had zero immunity. I couldn't afford to get the measles. This is a case-by-case thing. So, and then it goes on and on, and unfortunately they got the brunt of it. I'm not sure that it's ever been proven that necessarily they created this mess, but I think that people are much more, and this will tie into something that if we have time, I'll get to it in maybe tomorrow, but I think people are much more conscious and distrusting of vaccines after the COVID vaccines. Even doctors that I know that really, really insisted that you needed to get a vaccine the moment that it came out are now regretting that decision. There's a couple that I know that have had heart complications from the vaccine. And I think overall, we have a much more distrusting community for vaccines. And so as a result, Health and Human Services is taking a look at that, and an article we'll get to maybe in the next hour, but a lot more to talk about. Minnesota, of course, 535, we'll get to that. And Elon Musk in the news has entered into a somewhat political battle in the state of Texas. All that and more. And tomorrow I've got a whole bunch more of New Year's Eve trivia we'll get to. But for now, this is the Chad Hastie Show on the Texas Town Square Media Network. News and weather's next, back with Hour 2. I'm Steve Evans. Don't go anywhere. Get you a nice, cool beverage. Back in a moment.
The Chad Hastie Show, a presentation of Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the Chad Hastie Show are not necessarily the views of this station's staff, management, advertisers, or Town Square Media.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
on News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. As 2025 comes to a close, we look back at the true crime cases that captured and rattled the nation. In June, a Massachusetts jury cleared Karen Reed of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and leaving the scene in the 2022 death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. Instead, jurors convicted her only of a lesser charge, operating under the influence. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs was convicted in July of 2 counts of transporting people for prostitution, while he was acquitted of more serious charges, including racketeering and sex trafficking. Then in August, a California parole board denied Eric and Lyle Menendez release. The brothers were convicted in the 1989 killings of their parents. Then in September, they were denied a new trial. Brian Koberger pleaded guilty in July to 4 counts of first-degree murder for the brutal 2022 stabbing deaths of 4 University of Idaho students. A judge sentenced him to 4 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. There's more on these stories at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Take KFYO wherever you go with the KFYO app. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO Lubbock.
It's 6 o'clock in Texas.
Here's the name we learned in 2025, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. I'm John Saucier, Fox News, and a federal judge is questioning if a migrant from El Salvador is being vindictively prosecuted by the Trump administration. Here's Fox's Jared Halpern.
A federal judge says there is evidence a human smuggling case against Kilmar Abrego Garcia became a top priority for the Justice Department only after the migrant from El Salvador was erroneously deported and then ordered to return to the U.S. A newly unsealed order in Abrego Garcia's criminal case is offering new details about the decision-making process of federal prosecutors. District Judge Waverly Crenshaw has canceled the upcoming trial and instead ordered a hearing next month on whether the prosecution is vindictive and selective. Attorneys for Abrego Garcia are seeking a dismissal of the case. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Federal agents operating in Minnesota after a video from conservative influencer Nick Shirley went viral this weekend. He visited several daycare centers and claimed one was closed despite receiving over $1 million in state aid. Fox's Garrett Tenney has more.
Minnesota's Department of Human Services tells Fox that it has 55 active investigations involving child care centers. Those are the state investigations. And while those businesses have been flagged for potential fraud, the agency says it has not paused any funding for them, including for Quality Learning Center, which was spotlighted in Nick Shirley's viral video. Here's the head of the department that oversees daycares talking about their investigations and trying to explain why the Quality Learning Center was empty in that video. The manager says it's not true at all, and that in fact the business was empty because they do after-school care and don't open until the afternoon.
The Deputy HHS Secretary Jim O'Neill announcing on X his agency has temporarily frozen all child care payments in Minnesota, has taken action to validate daycare payments across the country. America's listening to Fox News.
Nope.
The easiest way to get your news is through News Talk KFYO. AM and FM presets in your car or truck, a bookmark on your office computer, and on your phone with the KFYO app. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Top lanes, weather forecast. The temperatures are dropping overnight through morning once again into the upper 20s. It's going to be a very cool morning on Wednesday. But on Wednesday, New Year's Eve, temperatures around 63 degrees under a mostly sunny sky. Then the lower 30s, and we get into New Year's Day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Weather is brought to you by Sonic and the 199 menu. And meteorologist Ron Humbert to Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk KFYO.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, news and views with a Lone Star perspective. You can sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790. That's 806-680-2790. Or call in at 1-800-687-0790. Now, here's Chad Hasty.
Wait a minute. Chad Hasty's out. It's Steve Evans.
Mean pride.
Welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show, 806-680-2790. Want to text the show? Steve Evans hanging out with you all evening long or till 7 o'clock, whichever comes first. John rings in on the text line, said, just to let you know, I have a good friend who buried his wife about a year ago from complications from the COVID vaccination. After receiving it, she got clots, cancerous growths throughout the body. Personally, I'll never take another booster shot of any kind in my life. Also, last time I heard, Deborah Brick, still on staff at Texas Tech University, local tax dollars supporting Fauci's number one assistant during COVID. Maybe, John. Maybe. I didn't want to get off on this. It just kind of fell in my lap. But I firmly believe that the numbers weren't reported correctly. And I think it was heart disease, heart attacks, all the various things that got credited with those death numbers. And I don't think a lot of numbers were tied back to COVID vaccinations or complications. I don't think they really knew, to be honest with you. Anyway, 806-680-2790. Elon Musk back in the news. Social media giant X announced it will provide legal backing to a Texas Republican activist who faces felony prosecution for posting a photo of an alleged biological male in the woman's restroom at the Texas Capitol. This goes back a while, but it's still going. In the midst of the 23 debate at the Capitol over legislation prohibiting gender modification procedures for minor children, Williamson County Republican Party Chair Michelle Evans, who I should have got on, I picked this story up too late. I should have got her on the air with us. Posted a photo of a clothed person, fully clothed, at a public bathroom sink on X May of 23, and wrote that she had to tell the man to stop using the women's restroom at the Capitol. Hours later, police detained her and confiscated her phone. And Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza launched a criminal investigation into whether she had violated a state law prohibiting taking photographs of or videos of individuals in bathrooms or changing rooms. Although Garza has not indicted her, the Travis County DA's office still has possession of her phone. I just want my phone back, she told the Texan News. I'm not worried about anything in particular, but I'm not going to give up anytime soon. Garza can continue to investigate me, charge me, but what I can do is make sure that it's on the record that there was a safety issue for the women that were in the bathroom. Evans has maintained that the person in the photograph is a biological male who was in the Capitol to testify on Senate Bill 14. She told the Texan that said person had publicly announced as a candidate for Texas House District 64. Several weeks after confiscation of her phone, she filed a federal lawsuit accusing Garza of violating her free speech rights, but a lower court rejected her request for an injunction. Earlier this month, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Fifth Circuit of Appeals issued a split opinion on her appeal of the case, with two justices affirming the lower court's decision. The majority noted that Garza had not yet filed charges against Evans, and thus the lower court had appropriately applied a legal doctrine that limits federal intervention in state matters. But in his dissent, Justice Andrew Oldman argued that the court had created a catch-22 for her that would prevent her from seeking an injunction at all. And the mere threat of criminal charges had already created an injury and inhibited her First Amendment right to free speech. Evans has undoubtedly suffered irreparable injury, wrote Oldham. While Garza decides whether to charge her, the DA, her First Amendment rights hang in limbo. She must self-censor from further publishing the purported illegal photography. In support of her right to injunctive relief, Oldham asserted the loss of First Amendment freedoms from day one is an irreparable injury. He also noted that Texas law prohibited collections of images with the intent to invade privacy of a person, but that Evans' posted photograph was of a fully clothed person at a sink, not an intimate setting. Insofar as we have to guess, it should be obvious that the district attorney, Garza, will not be able to prove that Evans had intent to invade the privacy of the other person. She is now asking for an in-bank, you attorneys, way in how you pronounce that, consideration of her case that will allow all 17 justices of the Fifth Circuit to weigh in. That's kind of cool. She will have additional legal representation provided by Elon Musk and X itself. Elon Musk, a self-described free speech absolutist, purchased a social media platform in 2022, citing many users' complaints of censored content as one of his motivations. Michelle Evans said she has not communicated with Musk himself, but that a member of X's legal team contacted her earlier this month. X's Global Government Affairs released a statement Monday in support of her. The First Amendment protects her free speech, yet in a 2-1 vote, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a misguided and dangerous opinion allowing the criminal investigation to go forward. X is therefore assisting Mrs. Evans in pursuing an appeal before all 17 judges of the Fifth Circuit. We look forward to the full Fifth Circuit correcting this wrong and preserving free speech, which is the foundation of American democracy. Garza has come under scrutiny from critics for dropping prosecutions of defendants accused of violent crimes, and earlier this year declined to retry a man convicted for a 91 murder of Anita Byington after the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals ordered a new trial. And of course, the Travis County District Attorney's Office did not return a request at the time of the publication of this article. The thing that, there's a lot that bothers me here and a lot to unpack, but this has been going on for 2 years. Is there not, and I don't think there is, a limitation on a DA's ability to continue to investigate when they don't produce anything substantial? How long can they keep her phone? How long can she does she have to go through with this? How long does she have to continue to keep an attorney on retainer? How long is does she have to stay quiet? This is a long time to have to sit and stay quiet. I think this might be part of the point of the dissension in the Fifth Circuit, the Fifth Circuit's opinion. But I vaguely remember this happening back in 23, but I didn't realize it was still going on. Now, the full power, if you will, of the X legal team has gotten in the middle of this because this has deep implications for anybody that posts on X. Can you imagine now? Before the platform was just gonna censor the things that you put on. Now that it's a completely free speech platform, now you have to think twice about what you post because the local DA may decide to go after you for an X post. No discussion on whether it got past posting standards or community standards. I don't see any information that leads me to believe anybody complained on X or complained to the platform that asked them to take it down. Maybe that'll all come out eventually. This is a very, very interesting case. I'm curious to see how this pans out. And I was not aware, that's the one thing I learned, I was not aware that there was a process. It's very interesting that you could get all 17 justices to go in and look at an appeal, like a new appeal. I figured they would just go on to the higher court. Anyway, more to watch on that. I have absolutely no idea how long it's going to take them to get this new appeal heard. It's very interesting, but I'm kind of happy Elon Musk, especially if this is a person that they're going to try to drain the bank accounts and keep it going. And again, keep attorneys on retainer and continue to sink this woman. But hats off to the Williamson County Republican Party Chair, Michelle Evans, for standing her ground and apparently making sure. I mean, it's not like she kicked the door into the bathroom and really got a picture to prove it was a man. You know, she didn't do that we know of. She didn't post it. Maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe she stuck the phone underneath the stall, got a couple clicks. I don't know. Who wants to see that? Anyway, not me. One to watch as we roll into 26. I'll try to keep an eye on this story and more. Let's go ahead and take the next break. We'll take a look at what's going on in Minnesota, 535, and why they believe their statehood should be withdrawn. More to come. Stick around.
The Chad Hastie Show can be heard all over West Texas. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Tune in to News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO in Lubbock. News Talk 940 in Amarillo. News Talk 94.7 and 1470 KYYW in Abilene. And in Wichita Falls on News Talk 96.3 and 1290. The Chad Hastie Show. Make it a part of your drive home. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
This is House Call for Health. Snow. It can be pretty and fun to play in, but also a pain in the back to shovel, literally. The Rhode Island Department of Health offers a few suggestions for staying safe while you're scooping away snow, which can be good exercise, but can also be harmful. They suggest talking to your doctor if you have a history of heart trouble. Make sure it's okay to be shoveling. Then drink lots of water. You can still get dehydrated even though it's cold out there. Dress warmly and in layers so you can remove a layer if needed. Avoid caffeine and nicotine as they can put extra strain on your heart, and warm up your muscles before shoveling. Also, take it slow. Pace yourself and take breaks. Don't pick up too much snow at a time. Push the snow as you shovel. It's easier on your back. And protect your back. Bend from the knees and lift with your legs bent. Try not to twist and listen to your body. Stop if you feel tired or tightness in your chest. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is Gordon Deal. Join me for America's First News weekday mornings at 5 on News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM KFYO.
The Michael Berry Show, weekday mornings, 8:30 to 11 on KFYO.
Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show, 806-680-2790. If you'd like to send us a message, we'd love to hear from you. Minnesota. Fresh attention being drawn to the Minnesota election policy. I'm assuming 535, this is the one you are talking about. That allows for registered voter to vouch for up to 8 people seeking same-day registration. Yeah, they're good. Scrutiny comes after the Walz administration confronts hundreds of millions of dollars lost to social services fraud tied to the state's Somali immigrant community. That's another story. It's what's coming out of all of this. Critics pointed to a further wrinkle in Minnesota state law signed by Governor Walz in 23 that provided for driver's license for all, regardless of immigration status. The policy also stipulates that the license to carry no markings indicating citizenship, even though such IDs are commonly used to register to vote. Under Minnesota law, a registered voter can vouch for up to 8 other voters' residency who want to sign up for same-day voter registration without an ID. The registered voter must go with the person or people to the polling place and sign an oath verifying their address. That ought to be a felony. According to an official fact sheet from the Office of the Minnesota Secretary of State, a registered voter can vouch for up to 8 voters. You cannot vouch for others if someone vouched for you, the department said. Oh, well, a little stipulation there doesn't make it any better. Unvouched for residents who want to vote same day must provide at least one form of identity verification, including a valid Minnesota driver's license or learner's permit that you can get. Anybody can get, whether you have citizenship or not, a receipt for them or a tribal identification card that includes a photo and a signature. So long as a prospective voter can prove residency, the proof of ID can be the driver's license, learner's permit from any of the other 50 states, a passport, expired military ID, military ID or Minnesota University or high school identification card. Not hard to forge there. If a person is registered to vote in a precinct but changed their name or moved within the precinct, they can vote. No problem, as long as they inform the precinct election judge of their previous name or address. This situation drew attention of a top Republican in the Senate who has persistently advocated for secure elections. Senator Mike Lee, the election hero of Utah, citing voting rights activist Scott Pressler's accounting of the voter vouching policy in his SAVE Act, safeguarding American voter eligibility, would require proof of citizenship when registering to vote in federal elections. Not just proof of residency, proof of citizenship. The bill could stymie Minnesota's current policy. And it's, let me throw the caveat in there. It's a shame that it's come to this. And part of this scares me. It scares me because now we're having to get the federal government involved in elections, which ought to be state controlled. But states can't police themselves. 535 says that they ought to not be able to participate in any presidential election. That would be a way to put pressure on them. We're not going to come in and tell you what to do. But if you don't do it right, you don't get to participate in a presidential election. Elected officials' pensions should be able to be taken away for this gross misconduct. 535's calling for them to lose their statehood over it. That might be a little drastic there, but I get the anger. The Senate should send it to President Trump's desk for signature as soon as possible. But that doesn't go far enough. They need to go in and scrub the voter rolls. That needs to be cleaned up, or there's still a problem. The SAVE Act passed at the House in April, but awaits further action in the GOP-controlled Senate. Scott Pressler told Fox News Digital he was inspired by conservative YouTuber Nick Shirley to further investigate fraud in Minnesota. I thought, why not use this opportunity to expose potential voter fraud as Minnesota is trending? Of the vouching policy laid out on Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simmons' official website, Pressler commented, does this allow for potential fraud and abuse of our elections? Absolutely, when you consider that Minnesota has same-day voter registration, that's a problem to begin with. He noted that Saturday Night Live alum and former Democrat Senator Al Franken won his 2008 election by only 312 votes, while adding that about 542,000, or 19%, this is the shocking number, of Minnesota voters took advantage of same-day registration. 500,000 voters took advantage of same-day registration. This ought to bother you greatly. An official in Simon's office told Fox News that the vouching policy has been intact for more than 50 years. Several measures are in place to help keep the election system in Minnesota secure under the vouching policy, according to Deputy Communications Director Cassandra Knudsen. Vouching can only be used to provide proof of a potential voter's residence in the precinct. Right. Potential voter must still provide the Minnesota driver's license. They don't need to be vouched for if they have that. So why is there a vouching policy? If they can prove their residence, why do they need someone to vouch for them? And again, a Minnesota driver's license is the threshold, but yet you can get a driver's license in Minnesota no matter what your citizenship status. To throw a further twist in that before I finish this article, you get a Minnesota driver's license, and then you go to another state and start driving a truck. This is some of the things that have happened right here in Texas, down in the oil patch. You've got people from all over the place, from other states, that can get a driver's license with no citizenship. They go and get a job, driving a heavy truck down in the oil field, hit and kill somebody, get out of the truck and walk away. You can't find them. They just disappear. This has happened. Vouching is most commonly used in senior living facilities by residents who have not updated their driver's license to reflect their current residence. When they go through and mass register a bunch of people and then, apply for mail-in ballots and mass fill out the ballots, that's a large place where election fraud happens is in senior living facilities, unfortunately. They've always got that one person, well, just tell me what you want to do and I'll fill this out for you. Real easy to harvest a vote there. Sometimes using cases where an eligible voter has recently moved and lacks identification indicating the new address. So here, I live in Minnesota. This person says I live in this house. No problem. Here you go. Register to vote in this precinct.
What if it's an election where you're voting on that's it's a very low turnout election, or a small precinct, or a commissioner race, a council alderman race or something like that, where you literally have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 votes. We've had those here in Lubbock County that separate the winner from the runner-up. And you can run in and same day, especially if you see some trends or you see the turnout numbers not favorable, well, we'll just go register by voucher a whole bunch more voters. Statute in question provides for election judges to fill out a form to record the number of vouching voters, which is then affirmed through an oath of the voter application. Yeah, I swear. Also on a web page, information detailing Minnesota's election security measures, which include the prevalence of election judges at each polling place, cross-checking ballots cast for the number of voters recorded in each election. So what? So what? That's done right there at the polling place. And the article goes on. We're going to get hit with the clock. News and weather is next. We'll finish this up after the break. Your text and more, 806-680-2790 here on the Chad Hastie Show. News and weather. We'll be right back.
The Chad Hastie Show, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. Sound off during the show by sending Chad a text at 806-680-2790.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nick, this is your phone here in the passenger seat. Look at me.
No, I'm driving.
You got a text. It says, "Yo, dude, your friends are fascinating. Let's text them back."
It can wait.
Sports app. Oh, you gotta see this play.
Later.
Hey, you got invited to a party. We need a RSVP now.
Phone, silence yourself.
Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Talk, text, crash. A message from TxDOT.
TSN headlines. Sharia law is the target of a new caucus launched by Dallas area Congressman Keith Self. It's called the Sharia Free America Caucus, and it's co-chaired by Self and Representative Chip Roy of San Antonio. Sharia law is the guidance in Islam derived from the Quran and Hadith. Self calls it a dominating force not compatible with the U.S. Constitution. And the Council on American Islamic Relations says this is not true, and they call it a conspiracy to whip up fear. The family of Camelia Mendoza almost holding out hope for her safe return. The 19-year-old has been missing since Christmas Eve. She left home in San Antonio without her phone. The Bexar County Sheriff's Office is investigating all possibilities. The FBI is assisting. The Dallas County GOP had planned to hand count ballots from the upcoming March primary. Now they have gotten away from the idea. Tens of thousands of ballots would have been involved. And Dallas County GOP Chief Alan West says even though they raised a lot of money, they would have had too hard a time hiring enough people. With your Texas News headlines, I'm Barbara Schwartz.
Imagine there was more of you. A you working on custom retirement plans, while another you preps for open enrollment. When you partner with Paychex, we become an extension of your team. From AI-powered intelligent HCM to HR advisory and employee solutions, we give you more of you. New customers, book a meeting with Paychex and get a $50 gift card. Visit paychex.com/you.
CarsForKids.org. Right off the car, not the kid.
Got an old or unused vehicle you need to get rid of? Donate it to the original CarsForKids.org. Towing is free and you'll be helping kids in our communities. CarsForKids.org is the best vehicle donation charity impacting the lives of kids thanks to your vehicle donations. CarsForKids.org picks up vehicles in any condition and you'll receive a $50 gift card. Don't delay. Donate today.
Fill them
Tampa Top Plains weather forecast. The temperatures are dropping overnight through morning once again into the upper 20s. It's going to be a very cool morning on Wednesday. But on Wednesday, New Year's Eve, temperatures around 63 degrees under a mostly sunny sky. Then the lower 30s, and we get into New Year's Day. The temperatures in the mid-70s. Weather is brought to you by Sonic and the 199 menu. Meteorologist Ron Humbert, Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk KFYO.
Local events, newsmakers, and information, it's Sunrise LBK on KFYO.
Coming up on Sunrise LBK New Year's Eve, the final day of 2025.
And Larry Williams will sit in with us at 8:05 on another segment of Ask Larry, Williams Brake, Tune, and Tire.
311 19th Street. Also got some goodies to give away from Tokyo Cafe, Silver Bullet, and the Combine Commons on the Square in Slayton. Coming up on New Year's Eve, Sunrise LBK.
I'm Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal. Wednesday on This Morning, America's First News. President Trump has filled the end of his first year back in office with foreign policy. We'll dive into why and what this means for 2026. Plus, why investors are ignoring the AI bubble, even though they know that the stocks are overpriced. We'll take a closer look and a look at career New Year's resolutions. That and more Wednesday, New Year's Eve on This Morning, America's First News.
Weekday mornings at 5 on News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A young girl from Texas who saved her brother from choking during a social media challenge makes today's Dean's List. Leah James was participating in the viral Warhead Candy Challenge with her 7-year-old brother Logan. The scary moment was caught on camera when they were both jumping on a trampoline, seeing who could keep the sour candy in their mouth the longest. All of a sudden, Logan began holding his throat and struggling to breathe. Leah asked if he was okay and gave him a couple of pats on the back and then realized he was choking. 10-year-old Leah remembered the Heimlich maneuver, something their mom had taught her, and now she was going to use it. Leah calmly wrapped her arms around her brother and performed the abdominal thrusts perfectly. Her brother Logan was able to get the candy out of his throat and was able to take a breath. The police department praised Leah for her quick thinking and called her actions both brave and life-saving. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The news and talk of West Texas, News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Don't forget about Chad. Find Chad on social media at Chad Hasty Radio on X and Instagram. It's the Chad Hasty Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show, 806-680-2790. If you'd like to send a message, 535 says, coming in 2026, the Federal District of Montana. Montana, D.C. Something along those lines. I'm gonna wrap up this article because I want to... There's another Minnesota article out there you may or may not know about that kind of triggered all of this. So Bill Glahn of the Center for the American Experiment, a Twin Cities-based conservative public policy organization, said of proponents who talk of safeguards, it's like murder's illegal, but it happens all the time. It's a penalty of perjury. You sign an oath, but if you signed as Mickey Mouse, they're just not going to find you. Now, he says, early on in my residency in Minnesota, I went to vote and I saw this firsthand. I saw somebody doing this, somebody vouching for half a dozen people, and they were laughing and giggling like, I can't believe this is working. And I was infuriated at seeing this. In a response, Knudsen told Fox News that anyone claiming to be Mickey Mouse in his example would have to confirm their previous voter registration under the name of the Disney character that both went blah, 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 whatever. No, you don't. They're not double-checking this, I guarantee you. Some Minnesota lawmakers have taken issue with voter verification policies at the state level with the subject of illegal immigrants being able to vote, whether through loopholes or otherwise, drawing a contentious exchange during a state House hearing. Minnesota Elections Director Paul Linnell, a Simon appointee, was challenged on the state's election security posture during a hearing before the House Fraud Prevention and State Oversight Committee, State Rep Patty Anderson told O'Neill that Minnesota gives driver's license to anyone here. You don't have to be a citizen, and suggested they may try to register to vote with an incorrect Social Security number and have their registration be considered incomplete. But if they want to walk in and vote with their driver's license, does that make them all of a sudden now okay? If they're getting vouched for, I would think it does. No reply. Designation on the roster for someone whose registration had been incomplete, if they present to the election judge with that acceptable ID, would clear the challenge from the roster. They'd be permitted to cast a ballot. This is going to get looked at. It's okay. There's your problem potentially. The chairwoman summed up the issue. Someone who's not a citizen but who presents a driver's license at that point in the process could be permitted to vote, and that's the point. And that could change the outcome, especially when you're talking about 500,000 voters and small elections that 10, 12 votes. That widespread election fraud is much harder to get your teeth wrapped around. Localized election fraud and something like this makes a little bit more sense. It's a little bit easier. Now, I told you all that to tell you this. Here's what started a lot of it. When deep looks started into this, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services will freeze child care payments to Minnesota, the state. The agency said yesterday, or was this today? Oh, this article's fresh. I thought this was a yesterday. I had one clip from yesterday. This one's been updated. As of today, they're going to freeze all child care payments amid the scrutiny surrounding alleged fraud involving child daycare centers. You probably read about the serious allegations in the state of Minnesota that's funneled millions of taxpayer dollars to fraudulent daycares across Minnesota over the past decade. In a video message, Health and Human Services Director, Deputy Secretary Jim O'Neill wrote, he cited a viral video released last week by independent journalist Nick Shirley from our last article that highlighted alleged fraud involving Minnesota child care and learning centers. In the video, many of the facilities appeared non-operational despite allegedly receiving millions of dollars in government aid. Why didn't Elon Musk find this? Why didn't they doge this? We believe the state of Minnesota has allowed scammers and fake daycares to siphon millions of dollars over the past decade. In an effort to combat fraud, O'Neill said he had ordered that all administration for children and families payments made across the country require justification and receipt or photo evidence before money is sent to that state. Seems like a good idea. I have to turn in receipts to get reimbursed on my company expense account for gas. It's that simple. Secondly, the agency is demanding that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz hand over a comprehensive audit of these centers featured in the video, including attendance records, licenses, complaints, investigations, and inspections. Alex Adams, the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services Administration of Children and Families, can we get some acronyms here, said his office has provided Minnesota with $185 million in child funds annually. The money should be helping 19,000 American children, including toddlers and infants. Any dollar stolen by fraudsters is stolen from the children. It's for the children. Adams said he spoke with the head of Minnesota Child Care Services yesterday. She couldn't tell me with confidence whether those allegations of fraud are isolated or whether there's fraud stretching statewide. What's going on, Minnesota? My goodness, 806-680-2790. Mark in California said, as bad as voter fraud is in California, I think Minnesota wins the prize. Oh, I think they do.
The civil authorities have issued a child abduction emergency for Hawkeye TX, Howard TX, Martin TX, Joachim TX, Lovett TX, Terry TX, Lim TX, Cochran TX, Andrews TX, Dawson TX, Loving TX, Gaines TX, Midland TX, Borden TX, Rumker TX, Ector TX, and Garza TX, beginning at 6:40 p.m. Tuesday, December 30th and ending at 6:40 p.m. Wednesday, December 31st. Amber Alert. Child abduction from Plains, Texas. Suspect vehicle is a black 2010 Ford F-150 pickup truck with Texas license plate WGV9997. Missing child is Mary Yavanico Nez Marquez, 15-year-old Hispanic female. Suspect is Juan Orlando Garcia Sarmiento, 41-year-old Hispanic male. Call the Texas Department of Public Safety with information. If seen, call 911. Amber Alert. Child abduction from Plains, Texas. Suspect vehicle is a black 2010 Ford F-150 pickup truck with Texas license plate WGV9997. Missing child is Mariana Lagones Marquez, 15-year-old Hispanic female. Suspect is Juan Orlando Garcia Sarmiento, 41-year-old Hispanic male. Call the Texas Department of Public Safety with information. If seen, call 911.
Tells me that an Amber Alert may go off, so I just apologize right now if my phones go screaming. Yeah, is it gone off on the air? Oh, okay. So those of you hearing it on the air, sorry. Got in the way of my whole speech here. So if you know the number of votes cast, conservative versus liberal, because you can compile that data, and then you can go out and same day register to vote. You could go out on election day and say, I need 423 liberal votes cast in the city election to swing it. And you go swing it. Now, maybe it's not fraud at that point. They're using the laws. It's just whipping extra votes. Maybe it's that. I don't know how much of that you heard and how much got wiped out by the Amber Alert. The Amber Alert's more important than what I have to say. But that can be it's a tool that can be used. So might not necessarily be fraud, but it could be. Thank goodness we don't have this voucher for you system in the state of Texas. I see a lot of ways that can get abused, a lot of ways, at a very, very local level, and that's what makes me nervous. Anyway, I need to fire off a break. We'll be back to wrap up the show when we come back on the Chad Hasty Show. Get those final texts in at 806-680-2790. We'll wrap it up in just a minute.
All I want to do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes. Rosanna, Rosanna.
The Titan of Texas Talk Radio, The Chad Hasty Show.
Talking with newsmakers and about the issues that matter to you. The Chad Hasty Show, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Chad's show is also digital with The Chad Hasty Show podcast. The Chad Hasty Show podcast can be downloaded on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the Radio On Demand page on KFYO.com. The Chad Hasty Show, all across Texas during your drive home, weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls, meow, or jumping onto high shelves. Meow. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
Heard right here on News Talk KFYO.
This is House Call for Health. Snow. It can be pretty and fun to play in, but also a pain in the back to shovel. Literally, the Rhode Island Department of Health offers a few suggestions for staying safe while you're scooping away snow, which can be good exercise, but can also be harmful. They suggest talking to your doctor if you have a history of heart trouble. Make sure it's okay to be shoveling. Then drink lots of water. You can still get dehydrated even though it's cold out there. Dress warmly and in layers so you can remove a layer if needed. Avoid caffeine and nicotine as they can put extra strain on your heart. And warm up your muscles before shoveling. Also, take it slow. Pace yourself and take breaks. Don't pick up too much snow at a time. Push the snow as you shovel. It's easier on your back. and protect your back. Bend from the knees and lift with your legs bent. Try not to twist. Listen to your body. Stop if you feel tired or tightness in your chest. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Are you worried about your taxes? Okay, so I'm talking to those of you out there that have not filed in a few years with the IRS or state. It's time to get worried, and here's why. The IRS is getting back from their own COVID lockdown, and they're hiring more enforcers, and they're going to come after people that owe taxes. So if you're a 1099 worker, and maybe you just plain forgot to file your taxes, you need to call the professionals right now at the Tax Helpline. They are experts at knowing the tax regulations, and their goal is to help you pay as little as possible. Call right now and get a 100% free tax evaluation. Remember, before the IRS knocks on your door, knock on our door. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, make this free call right now.
Call taxes 321 now at 800-808-9443. 800-808-9443. That's 800-808-9443.
Hey, it's Buck Sexton. Join me and Clay as we sound off every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5 on News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show. 806-602-790. I'd like to weigh in those final texts of the evening. We'll be back with you tomorrow for our New Year's Eve show. Rockin' New Year's Eve. We can't steal that, can we? Rockin' New Year. Can't do that. I'll probably get a cease and desist. I'm going to wrap up with this. Artificial intelligence and the data centers that power them remain one of the most contentious issues both across the country and here in the state of Texas. In his second stint in the White House, President Trump immediately took action with executive orders, one titled Removing Barriers to American Leadership in Artificial Intelligence. Rolled back a number of Biden-era policies that were barriers to AI innovation, clearing the path for the U.S. to act decisively to retain global leadership in AI. It was also in January that OpenAI, SoftBank, Oracle, and MGX announced a $500 billion AI initiative alongside the president. Data centers then became a major focal point for investment and debate as new capital began to pour into Texas to help support these ambitious projects. To provide for the massive computational power for AI, data centers house millions of graphic processing units, or GPUs, servers, fans, and other specialized hardware to support the flow of information in and out of the system. It takes a lot of computing power. They're probably mining Bitcoin with it too, just not telling us. Data centers also provide computing power for advancements in autonomous driving, which the Waymo cars, don't even get me started on Waymo. I have a problem with them. Space exploration and military use. NVIDIA, the world's leading GPU manufacturer, stated in April that it plans to build supercomputer manufacturing plants in both Dallas and Houston. In July, Samsung stated its intention to begin development of an AI chip for Tesla at its Taylor manufacturing facility. Then Fermi American, a project being led by former Texas governor and former U.S. Secretary of Energy Rick Perry in partnership with Texas Tech University, announced plans for a hypergrid campus to deliver next generation artificial intelligence. Google, just a few months later, said it'd invest $40 billion in Texas data center infrastructure. According to a February report from the Data Center Coalition, data centers contributed over $1.6 billion in tax revenue, and statewide data centers generated almost $1.6 billion for local taxing authorities in Texas at the end of 2024. The report estimates over the next several years, those contributions will increase more than $3.8 billion in additional revenue for the government of the state of Texas and over $4.8 billion in additional revenue for schools and local governments. We ought to be able to reduce our property taxes with that, right? There are more than 42,000 data centers in operation around the country, over 400 of which are in Texas. But as the data center footprint grows, many local residents have become reluctant to welcome them into their small towns and communities. Most recently, after plans for up to 6 data centers in a suburb north of Waco was announced, local residents posted a petition to voice their concerns about the project. For those of us who call this area home, it's a frightening prospect, the petition states. In unincorporated Hood County, residents and local cryptocurrency mining facilities are locked in a legal battle over gaining authority to set a local noise ordinance. During the 89th legislature, lawmakers passed several bills to address both water and power issues related to data centers. SB 6 established guidelines for data center interconnection into the ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas grid, and SB 1 will allocate millions of dollars for the Texas Water Board addressing the cooling and water needs of current and future data centers in the state. Water availability, power generation, and noise ordinances, because these things can get noisy with the consumption and the air conditioner and all that, are still areas of concern for both Texas residents and elected officials as it relates to the growing dominance of the data center industry in the state. Heading into the 90th session, many will be keeping their eyes on how these issues will be addressed legislatively and if local opposition to these types of projects will get louder or slowly subside. Oh, they're going to get louder. They're going to get louder. This, I don't know, it's like trying to park a nuclear reactor in your backyard. People are scared of them. I have mixed views. I utilize data centers in my business. I've got space in Atlanta at a massive multi-story data center, which was my first look into one of these going into it. Because if you rent space, you can get access to it. You literally just buy a rack. You buy space and a plug to plug into their internet backplane, which is super high speed, massive amounts of bandwidth available, and you pay for the space. It's in U's, 1, 2, 3 U's, whatever. And 1 U is about the size of a decent server in storage space, and then you pay for the amount of bandwidth that you want to utilize on their backplane. Now, most of these are parked in places that have real high-speed internet connections. You're not going to find one in Lubbock yet, but as fiber connections and higher speed connections start to come in, you'll see more and more data centers pop up all over the place. Anywhere they can put them, where they can get high speed internet to them, it's basically just computers. It's a building full of computers and processors, and people paying to, and then they do all, you know, and it's the cloud. And if you don't know what the cloud is, it's just your data's on somebody else's computer, and that's where they're at. They live in these data centers. They take a lot of cooling. Got to keep them cool because you can imagine the amount of heat that they generate. They take a lot of power because you're plugging in thousands and thousands and thousands of computers. They generate a lot of heat, and as they process, they generate more heat. You got to have redundant air conditioning so that if some of it goes down, the backups come on and keep them cool so they don't overheat and shut down, and your credit cards keep working and Google keeps working and all your streaming services and things you're used to. They all live in these data centers, and as AI emerges and the computing power demand increases, it's going to take more data centers. But they have to be intelligently done so we don't compromise power and water needs, and that is the concern with them. Enjoyed being with you today. Always do. We'll be back tomorrow for the New Year's Eve wrap-up. Steve and Nick and whoever else might join the show, because I don't really have anybody confirmed at the moment. This is the Chad Hasty Show on the Texas Town Square Media Network. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Chad Hasty Show, a presentation of Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the Chad Hasty Show are not necessarily the views of this station's staff, management, advertisers, or Town Square Media.